about spending your life well, having a life that's well spent. Because it's kind of funny. When people get jobs, which I know some of you guys are getting summer jobs, that's right, I heard about that. But when you get a job, a lot of times, one of the questions people ask is, how much am I going to get paid? Right? And how do they describe how much you get paid? You get paid per hour, right? $11 an hour, a couple years, $15 an hour. I mean, you will get paid according to how many hours of your life you spend working. So one day, an hour of your time will be worth a certain amount of money. Now, you only get 24 hours a day, and half of that time you're going to spend sleeping or playing Xbox. And the other half, you're going to have to fill it up with something else. And that certain amount of time is going to be worth a certain monetary value. That's the way things work in America. That's just the way it goes. So how much time is your life worth? And then you figure, if you end up spending $100, how many hours of your life was that $100 worth? If you make 10 an hour, then that was 10 hours of your life. You spend $100 at $10 an hour, that's 10 hours, $100 of your life that you put your work, your effort, putting up with people, telling you you made the sandwich the wrong way and telling you to make it again. You got all that stuff, and now you spent your life with those $100. Now, the question is, how does God want you to spend that time? How does God want you to manage that? Because it's how you spend your life through your wallet, through that debit card that you get or you have or whatever that card is that you end up using. See, what we don't realize is this, is that where we live, we're pretty darn rich. Like, I know there's a billion different, like situations in this room. But no matter what your situation in this room is, chances are you, even if you don't have a lot, you're richer than most of the world. And we don't realize that. So what happens is this Bible verse comes along and says to whom much is given, much is required. So the more you have, the more responsible God expects you to be. Now, a lot of us in this place can say, well, Pastor Richard, I don't have a job. All I get is allowance. Look, does anybody get money for lunch for school? Does anybody get money for lunch for school? A couple people, maybe. Okay, who takes their lunch to school? Okay, I see here. All right, got it. Okay, and then some of us in this place, maybe you get lunch at school or whatever the case is. You know, a lot of us in this place, we have some type of money coming into us, and you take care of your needs with it. Now, everybody in this room, chances are you probably spend something a week. Now, I don't know where you get it from. I don't know if you got something on the side. I don't know if you get allowance. I don't know if you do chores and you get a little something from your parents. Maybe you just get whatever you can find or whatever the case is. We all get something through the week. So we have this way of spending something. So what do we spend it on? How do you manage what you get? And whatever you have left over, what do you do with it? Because it's all got to go somewhere. And if we're going to be wise, if we're going to be able to be a person that handles our life well, then we got to figure out what to do with the dollars and cents. Okay, let's just say you spend, it's easy to spend $20 a week, right? Like between candy and sodas, between lunch, maybe you go out and you get like a coffee or a frappuccino or something. Like, it's easy to spend $20 a week. Maybe, like, let's say $100 a month, right? Like that's just like a couple shirts, maybe a couple pair of pants, maybe it's a couple times to the movie, maybe it's just eating pizza bread once a day, 5 days a week, 4 weeks a month, whatever the case is. I remember when I was in school, I get $2 for lunch each and every day. That's what I get. $10 a week, $40 a month. Something like that, whatever. I don't even know. I'm bad at math. For lunch. That's what I would do. Something like that. And then something like a little extra something for mowing the lawn. And that's the way it worked. So let's just say you spend, get, earn, allowance, whatever. Let's just say $20 $20 a week or so. Let's just say that. I mean, I remember back in the day, I'd get $10-15 mowing the lawn. Once a week, my dad hooked me up. That's the way it worked. So let's just say, give me this, give me the little doodaddy up here. Bam. Okay, no, other one. You're killing it. All right, thank you. Global rich list. Okay, let's just say you make $20 a week, 52 weeks a year. That's $1,000 a year. Your annual income is $1,000. Look at it that way. It's a little interesting. What would you do with $1,000? If you had $1,000 right now, what would you do with it? Go eat. Tithe. What? Save. Save up for something more. 2 years, $2,000. Very good. College. What? Put it in a family fund. Dang. Go to H&M. Dang. Or Urban Outfitters. Not going to go far there. Okay, so $1,000. Say, let's say you make $1,000 a year, just $20 a week, whatever. That's nice. Not too shabby. Not too shabby. You don't even got to pay taxes on it. Bam. It's nice being under 18. Now, you make $1,000 a year. In the grand scheme of the world, this is what it looks like, the other one right here. If you make $1,000 a year, you are in the top 58% of the richest people in the world. If you make $1,000 a year, you are richer than 3,481 million people in the world. You have more money than 3.5 billion people in the world. And you don't even got a job, right? Like, think about it. That's kind of interesting when you look at it that way. You're that person right there, and everybody in the gray is everybody else in the world. Now, granted, you are not the richest person in the world, but you're in the top 58%. You're like right there, almost in the middle of people in the world as far as, and we're talking adults. We're talking 40-year-old people with 6 kids living in a hut. You make more money than them a year on $20 a week. Right? Like that's crazy, right? So when we get to forever and God says, hey, so what'd you do? What'd you do with your life? What did you do with everything we gave you? What did you do with all the provision and the blessing? But God, blessing, I was poor. Well, you had more than a lot of other people. What did you do with that? How did you spend it? How grateful were you for it? How thankful were you for it? You see, this is how we spend our life. And a lot of times we think we have so little, but we forget that, you know, when the big scheme of things, if you were to zoom out and look at the whole picture, we have more than what we realize. You see, how are we spending our life? Because if you get X amount of dollars an hour a week for doing so many things, I mean, maybe some of you guys get money for getting good grades. You spent hours and hours and hours, hopefully, doing your homework and studying for tests to get certain grades. So your parents, when grade time comes around, they drop money on you for A's or B's or C's, or maybe they take money for D's and F's. I don't know how it all works out. That's how it worked in my family. But how does that work? You see, God, for every dollar that you make, for every nickel and quarter and dime, every penny you get, you need to realize that God has a purpose for it, right? Because it's attached to your life. And your life has purpose, right? So if your life has purpose, then everything inside of your life has a purpose too. Your time, your money, your relationships, your talents, right? I mean, so how do you take that part of your life and use it well? Because the crazy thing is money without a purpose is dangerous. Money without a purpose is dangerous. And at the best, it's useless. Because you end up spending stupid stuff on money. That's why they put all that dumb stuff at the aisle in Target. With all the candy and the little toys. They put the magazines about all that weird stuff. They put it right there. So you're like, I am kind of thirsty. Let me get myself a Coke. Oh, and of course, some corn nuts. Yes, please. Ranch. Bam! That's what they do. Because you think, oh, you know what? I got a couple extra bucks or whatever the case is. That's why they put things on sale. Do you know that if you buy something for 75% off, you only pay 25%? But do you know how much you pay if you don't buy it? You save 100%. That's the best sale in the world, is leaving the store. That's why they do stuff like this. Money without a purpose is dangerous at worst. But at best, money without a purpose is useless. Having money without purpose is like driving down the road without holding on to the steering wheel. You ain't in control. Right? Whatever bump in the road, it'll push you wherever it goes. So if you have, look, you know what it's like. It's birthday comes along and you get like that the money from grandma and it's just burning a hole in your wallet. Oh, I gotta spend this. I got a $100 bill. We gotta go spend this somewhere. Come on, Mom. Let's get in the car because I gotta buy something. I don't even care what. I'm gonna buy a sweater for my dog. I don't even care. Right? It just burns a hole in your pocket because you got to do something with it. But if you have a plan and you think, you know what, this is what I'd like to save up for. Because some of you guys in here are really good savers. Like, you know that I got to save up for this because I really want this big thing. So I'm not going to spend all this on these little things. But you got money without a purpose is a dangerous thing. So we have to have a purpose for everything that comes into our life. So what is the purpose? 2 Corinthians 9. I'm going to read a bunch of verses to you guys. So hang on. This would be good. In 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8, it says this in the New Living Translation. It says, now remember this, that a farmer who plants only a few seeds, what does he do? He gets a small crop. But the one who plants generously, well, he gets a generous crop. That makes sense. Plant a lot of seeds, get a lot of trees. You must each decide in your heart how much to give. Don't give reluctantly. Don't give in response to pressure because someone makes you. For God loves a person who gives cheerfully. And God will generously provide all that you need. Because then, when you're giving generously from your heart, then you will always have everything you need and you'll have plenty left over to share with others. So what are we talking about here? We're talking about a farmer that uses his effort to work his job, to put seed in the ground, and he works hard because he plants a lot of seeds. So those seeds will grow up and become trees or plants or food that he gets to eat. So he works hard so he can make a living. It says here, it says, as the scriptures say, they share freely and they give generously to the poor. Oh, now we're talking about taking what we do have and being generous with it. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. It says, for God is the one who provides seed for the farmer. God provides seed to the farmer. You have seed in your life, whether it's a dollar, whether it's five, whether it's talent. Maybe you're thinking, Pastor Richard, I don't get no money because this allowance thing, this lunch money thing you're talking about, I don't even know what that is. Well, God's given you 24 hours a day. If your hour doesn't turn into $10 an hour, then your hour can turn into something. It's just waiting for you to do something with it. It says, God is the one who provides seed to the farmer, and then that seed turns into what? Bread to eat. In the same way, he provides and increases our resources and produces a great harvest of generosity inside of you. Yes, you will be enriched in every way. Why? I'm seeing a purpose here, guys. You will be enriched. You will have. Why? So that. That's a purpose word. So that. You can always be generous. And then you take your gifts to those who need them. Then they will thank God. So two good things will result from you having the ministry. Wait. There's no preaching going on. Wait. There's no church. There's no songs in this verse. But it says ministry. What's the ministry? Being generous. So you working, you earning, and you doing what God wants you to do with it, is that ministry? Think about it. Let me keep on reading. It says this. It says here. It says right here. Two good things will result from this. Ministry of giving. The needs of the believers in the city of Jerusalem, well, they'll be met. And then they will joyfully express their thanks to God. As a result of your ministry, they'll give glory to God. For your generosity, your willingness to give to them and to all the believers, they will prove that you are obedient to the good news of Jesus Christ. They will pray for you with deep affection. Why? Because of the overflowing grace that God has given to you. Thank God for this gift. Too wonderful for words. you doing something of purpose with what God has given you. That's kind of crazy. Kind of changes the way you think about it when the buckets go by, right? There's this other verse in Genesis that says, and God's talking to a man named Abraham, and he says, Abraham, look, I'm going to make you big. I'm going to make you great. I'm going to make you famous. I'm going to make you a great nation. People are going to know your name. In Genesis 12:2, it says, I'm going to make you a great nation. He says, I will bless you, and I will make you famous, and you will be, this is a purpose thing here, you'll be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you. I'm going to curse those who treat you with contempt, and all the families on earth will be blessed through you. See, this is a purpose. This is the purpose that God has for you. No matter how little or how much you have, it had nothing to say with that. It doesn't say only rich people can do this. It doesn't say only people with a lot can do this. It said anybody that has anything, you can have a purpose for what God's put in your hand. I love telling about him, but there was a dude named Dylan who was in our youth ministry years ago, and he was just so good at business. He literally had, in like 10th grade, he had like 7 or 8 people working for him at school. And his job, he was like this mafia business owner over at school. And he had all these people working for him, and they'd check in with him, and he would give them candy and chips to sell at school. And they would go out, they weren't selling drugs, they were selling chips, okay? And they would go out, and they'd sell chips all day at school, and then they'd bring him all the money, and then he'd divvy it out. And it's like he had this little like Frito-Lays ring going on at school, and he made bank off of that. And that was his job. Was the mafia boss at his school selling Tostitos and chips? That was what he did. He sold chips and candy all at his school. And he had people on his payroll because he had a gift of being able to, I don't know, 10th grade starting a business, selling junk food. And that's what he did. He had a gift, and he was generous with it. Man, what's God have inside of you to be able to make something happen in your life? Because it's a gift that God's given you. And it needs a purpose. Otherwise, you're going to be wasted. See, the Bible says here in those verses, it says that we are blessed to be a blessing. We're blessed to be a blessing. You see, it's the way God works these things out. See, God gets to you so he can get it through you. It works like this. There's this, if you guys read the Bible before, right? You guys heard us talk about it. And there's this one place that always pops up. It's called the Sea of Galilee, right? There's this place in the Bible that always pops up, especially in the New Testament, the Sea of Galilee. You have a picture? Go ahead and put the picture of the Sea of Galilee up there. It's this really beautiful body of water, and it's just gorgeous. It looks like a perfect fishing hole, man. And this is where Peter, and this is where Jesus is over in Israel in the Middle East, and it's bigger than a lake. It's a sea. This is where the storm happened. This is where Peter and his dudes, they were fishing, and the stuff fell over because there's so many fish. I mean, this is where they would do it. And the Sea of Galilee is this beautiful place in Israel. And it's the number one place in the whole country where they get their drinking water. Like, this is where the Israelites are in the Bible. The Israelis live there now. This is where they get all their water from to drink. There's the number one source of water. It's where they fish. It's where they sell fish worldwide. And this is where a big source of income is right here. It's this beautiful, beautiful place. There's fish that live here that don't live anywhere else in the world in the Sea of Galilee. Now, there's this other sea not too far away called the Dead Sea, the Salt Sea. Go ahead and show me. This is what it looks like. That's all big pillars of salt. Yeah, that's what it looks like. Like, it is physically impossible to drown in this sea. Like, people travel around the world to go see this stuff. And this is the place in the Bible. This is in Israel. And they go there, and like, literally, there's almost 10 times as much salt in this sea than there is in the ocean. Like, well, ratio-wise, like not like cumulatively. But there's 10 times more salt in this body of water than there is in the ocean. And there's so much salt in it, it makes you float so you can't drown in it. Like, you have to really work hard to drown in that. Like, you have to want to go. If you're gonna go in this place, I mean, literally, if you look it up, there's pictures of people just like reading books, just floating on their back, and like this much water, because the salinity is so high, and there's just all this salt that they export out of there. And now the people in Israel, they call it the Sea of Death, not because people drown in it, because you can't, but because nothing can live in it. Like, you can't, like, fish, plants, animals, it's just not conducive to growing anything. You cannot live in that. You can float in it, but you can't live in it because it's nasty. Okay, and they call it the Sea of Death. Now, the interesting thing is that with this, the bottom, the lowest part of, I'm trying to make this make sense, but the bottom part of the of where the sea is higher than the top part of where the sea is. So all the water that comes into it has no place to go. You see, there's no outlet. All the water comes in and it gets stuck. So the whole evaporation thing happens, and then the water goes away, but all the sediment, all the salt, all the little minerals in there, they got no place else to go, so they get stuck, and they end up looking like that. That's what happens. You see, the Sea of Galilee, there's an in, and there's an out. The Sea of Death, there's an in, and it all gets stuck right there. Now, the crazy part is this, is the water that goes into the Sea of Death is the exact same water that comes out of the Sea of Galilee. Go ahead and put the map up there. I know, you guys didn't expect to get a geography lesson here, right? See the very top, that top part right there, it says Sea of Galilee, that's the sea. And if you look and you follow it straight down, there's a river that goes from the Sea of Galilee all the way down to the Dead Sea. It's the exact same water. The exact same water. The Sea of Galilee, you can drink. The Sea of Galilee, you got fish. But that same water goes down that round the River Jordan to the Dead Sea, and it's nothing but death. It's nothing but salt. Nothing can live in it. The exact same water. The only difference is one has an outlet, the other one has an inlet. If you've ever eaten too much bread or bad food, then you know what happens when there is no outlet. It's death. The Sea of Galilee has life because something goes in and it goes out. The water's fresh and it's always rotating. But the Sea of Death receives and receives and receives and has no other place to go. So it gets stale, rotten, and it's good for nothing but to scoop all the stuff out and sell it for table salt. That's all it's good for. You see, that's what we're talking about, is when you and your money and your finances look like the Dead Sea. You get money. Maybe it's allowance. Maybe it's job. Maybe it's birthday money. Maybe it's Christmas money. Maybe it's just whatever you find. And if you get it and you only spend it on yourself, then you end up having no outlet because it stays with you. And you are a blessing to nobody but yourself. And that might be okay for a little bit. Maybe good for a minute. But if that's the way you live your life, you see, your life becomes like the Dead Sea. It's in. And it stays here, and you end up having no outlet in your life because we live a selfish life. But see, when God said that he blesses people, what does he bless people for? He blesses us so we can be a blessing. He gets it to us so we can get it through us. He blesses us so we can be a blessing to other people. You see, whatever you get, it can't just go to meet your needs. It's got to go to meet the needs of the people around you, your family, your loved ones, people you don't know, strangers, the church. And it's got to come in you to get out of you, because every penny in your life has a purpose. And its purpose is not to stay with you and become a Dead Sea. Every penny that God gets you is to get in you and through you so it can have a purpose to bless somebody else's life. God said, Abraham, I'm going to make you famous. I'm going to make you big. I'm going to make you a huge nation, not for yourself. Not so people can sign their lives over to you, not so people can want to be around you, but so you can be a blessing to other people. That's what God wants to do in your life. Everything God's given to you, he gave it to you so you can give it away. Whether that's your life experience, whether that's your finance, whether that's your talent, whether that's your intelligence. See, God gave it to you so you could fulfill his will. You see, you are blessed to bless. There's this verse over in Proverbs 11:24. I'm going to start wrapping this thing up right now. And it says, give freely and you become more wealthy. It comes in and it goes out. Be stingy, it comes in and you keep it and you lose everything. It says, the generous will prosper. Those who refresh others will be refreshed. If you give, then you'll receive back. But if you hold back to yourself, it dies. It says, people curse the people that hoard or are selfish with their grain. but they bless people who sell in time of need. What's the purpose of your finance? What's the purpose of whatever you have or whatever you're getting or whatever you want to get? It's to give, whether it's in the church, through tithes and offerings, whether it's just being generous, but you're buying your friend's birthday presents. Maybe you buy your mom or your dad something nice just because you want to, with being generous. I mean, Alize, she was one of our interns. She's in Peru right now. She's in Peru because somebody anonymously gave her $1,000. She had a need, and some dude, some lady, some person somewhere dropped $1,000 check on her GoFundMe page. Didn't know who it was. They just dropped $1,000 on her. Wouldn't you like to drop $1,000 on somebody? Just because you had it, you could give it? I remember we used to have this little blue station wagon. And somebody I knew had a need. And, well, we didn't need it. So we were able to give that car to them. That's not a pat on my back. I mean, one day maybe if you need a car and I have an extra one, I'd be happy to give it to you guys. You know, but that's what it means to be generous. It comes in me so it can get out of me. And there's another thing where you see it and you help people that are in need, people that desperately need it. Our church has this amazing program where single moms, if they need cars, they sign up and people give the church cars and we get it running so we can give to single moms. That's what we do as a body. We get it so we can get it to somebody else. There's this verse in Matthew, and I'm done. It says this, in Matthew 16, verse 26, Jesus is talking. He says, look, guys, if you try to hang on to your life, you're going to lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you're going to save it. Man, God puts it in our hands so we can get it to somebody else's hand. So what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but you lose your soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? You see, what happens is this, is when we get so scared of being poor, we end up hanging on to things so tightly that we lose it. God says if you hang on too tightly to life, it's going to slip out of your fingers. Money, finances, things like that. It's kind of like holding a bar of soap. You ever try to squeeze a bar of soap in the shower? If you squeeze too tight, it goes up. You try to be too stingy, it'll squeeze right out of your hand. But if you don't hold it tight enough without purpose, fall right down through your hand. You have to know how to hold it just right, the bar of soap, so it doesn't fall or squeeze out. It's the same thing with your finances. Same thing with money that God gives you. You got to have a purpose for it. Otherwise, that money will find some place to go. In the same way, you can't be too stingy. It's not just for you. It's for other people. You're blessed to be a blessing because everything we have has a purpose. Okay, here's what we're going to do. And I want you guys to think about what is this week that you can do to be a blessing to somebody else. Whether you got money or don't, I don't even care. Right now, we're going to make a plan, and you're going to figure out how you're going to bless somebody else. Every stand up. All my youth leaders, okay, I need you guys to go find somebody. Get in a group of 5, 6, maybe 7. I need you to find a leader real quick. We're going to take about 10, 15 minutes to make a plan right now. They got a couple questions they need to ask you about this stuff. So go ahead. Come on, move. You guys are sitting too long. Too long. Got an inlet. Got an outlet. Don't get stuck. Don't get stopped up. Find somebody.